You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
I will say, Danny, Uncrustables have an incredibly high ceiling.
Okay.
But they also have a very low floor.
How so?
There's a sweet spot where are they fresh? How long have they been in that little cooler over there in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Are they too frozen? Are they not cold enough?
Not trying to be annoying here. And this is not my domain.
Yeah.
Isn't it in a wrapper?
Yes.
Freshness doesn't really seem to be part of the equation, then,
would
it?
You'd be wrong. I mean,
Now,
maybe at your house it's not an issue, but,
right,
like, the only time I would ever have them is if I'm not doing lunch or something, I just need a snack to get me to dinner
sure,
here. But if it's in that cooler for, you know, 9 days as opposed to three or something, and I have no idea what the kitchen situation is and how many they've gone through.
Well,
and
who does?
When the last person came was. You can just taste the difference. Just had an impeccable Uncrustable, though.
Okay.
It's very, very good. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Our buddy Ben Standig covers the Commanders for The Athletic. Are you an Uncrustable guy, Ben?
You know, I had never really had one, but they often have them sitting out for the players at in Ashburn. And one day I was in the store, like, you know what? Let me try this thing. It's, you know, it's not bad.
It's a nice little pick-me-up when you need it.
Yeah, the first time I did it, when you take it out of the refrigerator and have it sit out for like 30 minutes, that was weird. But other than that, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Ben, the young people will not stop talking about it. I mean, it's to the point now I'm obviously dug in and I'm never having one just because of how much I've heard about it. You know what I mean? It's like finding the show too late that everyone tells you have to watch. I now have to have an Uncrustable and I'm not gonna. Where are you at on that?
Well, you know, last year, I get a message in our Slack system from one of the guys in our staff who often does a lot of like quirky stories, and he asks me if I can find out how many Uncrustables the Commanders go through in a week or month or whatever, and I'm like, oh, what? I'm asking what now?
What?
And he explains, I'm like, okay, so eventually we found out the answer, and then he wrote a story about a league wide about that all these teams apparently are really into this, and I don't know if it won awards, but like it was very well recognized at our place for one of the biggest stories of the year in terms of views and stuff. People were into it, so there must be a cult of Uncrustables that I'm unaware of, but yeah, apparently people are into it.
Ben, I'm burying the lead. What a day. Congratulations to you and to me and to everybody else. One of the great days in organizational history. Good for the whole city, I would say, even if you're not a football fan. The Commanders will finally be on Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks with the NFC East. They will only be a quarter of the show, which is a shame, but they will finally be on Hard Knocks. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the only time. I mean, I remember when they had the was it the brawl with the Houston Texans at training camp that made Hard Knocks. So that's the only time I recall them even being on it that much. So yeah, it's pretty. It's interesting. I mean, yeah, it would have been cool if they were on it, you know, as the main focus. But it'll make it a little more interesting. I don't even know though. They're not going to be out there all year, right? Well, they're only going to be really out there just for like maybe sometime in the second half of the season, because that's when the show is going to be late in the year. So it won't even be that much. But yeah, why not? A little bit of behind the scenes acting.
So obviously they don't really have much say in it. I think the way the relationship works now is it's happening in the league and HBO and whoever picks. But do you get the sense this is welcome news over there? Is it just kind of neutral? Is it negative? Is it positive? How do you think?
Well, I think if you're going to have it, this is the one to do, right? Because it is only a partial. I remember last year when the Giants had the, everything was going on. We saw free agency in the draft and the whole Saquon drama. And as that was going on, I remember, you know, talking to some people over there, and they're just like, oh, Lord, no, that looks awful to have that type of examination of your situation. So, yeah, I think this should be, you know, we're assuming that there's not some sort of in-season drama going on here that, you know, they don't want people to look at. I think this is definitely the one to get. So, you know, if it's going to happen, this is not a bad way to go. Plus, like, even within the division, you have Dallas always, you know, a team that's to get most attention. And then I'm sure a lot of people are going to be curious about the Giants after last year. And then the other team is the reigning Super Bowl champion. So even within that, there it's, you know, not to say that they're fourth, because obviously a lot of people are intrigued by Washington this year. But, you know, you can make an argument that they'll be the team that's going to get the least amount of, you know, potential interest, relatively speaking, to a New York market, the Super Bowl champs in Dallas.
I didn't even think about, Ben, the idea of Joe Shane being back on Hard Knocks, which derailed his career completely. I mean, can you imagine how crestfallen he must have been?
Like, we're never getting the offseason Hard Knocks again because of the Giants.
Because of him?
Yeah.
And how badly that went. I hope they don't send the same camera people and producers, because there's no way he's got a soft spot in his heart for anybody who was in that building before. You know the coaches, the players, better than any of us. Who do you think, just from a personality standpoint, is going to end up really starring? Like, who could you see the cameras gravitating to and falling in love with as far as the Commanders go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously Jaden's going to get massive attention, but, yeah, he's not necessarily, he's not necessarily like some amazing quote, or at least he wasn't last year. That's a good question. I mean, I think some of the new guys, actually, like Debo Samuel could be pretty interesting. I don't know him. I've been around him enough, but just based on what I've seen and, you know, his situation, that could be an interesting one for sure. I think Bobby Wagner, you know, he a future Hall of Famer, he has such a, he's got such a force in that locker room. It's not so much he's got like this like outgoing personality, but he is a force of nature and a really interesting guy to talk to. So I could see him being somebody that you would, be interested in. And, I think the Marshawn Lattimore situation will be interesting. He's not necessarily, I don't see him being like, wanting to be front of camera, but, you know, again, like what's going on there. I'll also say, oddly, like the offensive line, like when we go in there, is often like a group that we end up talking to more than you might think, just because offensive linemen typically are, you know, camera shy, but they're not, I'm not saying they're going to be ready for the camera, but like Sam Cosmi is typically really good for sure. And, you got a first round pick this year, you got Laramie Tunsil. So I think the offensive line could get a lot of attention depending on, you know, what's going on that time of year.
Ben Standing with us here on G&D. Terry McLaurin, what's going on? Is it acrimonious? Is it just business? What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, what Jordan Schultz said, that put out that he wasn't at voluntary practice today, and I haven't definitively confirmed it. From what I gather, that is accurate. I don't put it as much of anything at this point. I mean, I know we make a big deal about everybody going to these things. Again, it is voluntary. There are plenty of teams around the league that don't have 100% attendance. Even for like OTAs, let alone volunteer, you know, some of this stuff where there's not as much on the, there's no real on the field work. So I don't put too much into it right now. Yes, he is, you know, in discussion for an extension. I caught up with him 2 weeks ago. He had he was available for speaking about a charity initiative that he's working with in Loudoun County to help at-risk teens sort of get ready for the job market and some interesting things that his group is doing. And while there, I kind of sidled up to him and said, hey, you know, kind of where are things right now with your contract? He's like, hey, you know, we're talking. That's, you know, best I can say. And he seemed pretty optimistic, though, that things were going to get done. And I'd be surprised if something doesn't ultimately get done. Now, this, even when it happened 3 years ago, and he did get a deal done, he did miss eventually some practice time. So perhaps it comes to that, but I'm not worrying about anything at this stage until I hear otherwise.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And when they've gotten deals done, and some of this was the previous regime, but it's been both groups, I feel like, whether it was McLaurin or Allen or what they've done the last year or two, it's oftentimes right around the training camp time, to your point. I wonder, though, and I promise I'm not concerned. I'm sure that he wants to be here and they want him. How could it not work out? But what is the hesitation, or why wouldn't they have done it by now, other than just the order of business? It's not like they're overly busy over the last few weeks in the football operation. It would seem to me it's super easy. Like, you make the call, you talk to his agent, you hash this thing out. There can't be too much of a crazy negotiation. I can't imagine he's asking for, you know, $32 million a year. Like, what would be a holdup for it not have to happen now? It just seems like a no-brainer in all directions.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a deadline creates deals probably type situation. You know, even last year when he was up the last time, that was an offseason where a lot of receivers were getting, you know, paid. There were a lot of players who were kind of in this market. So, you know,
it was like A.J. Brown, Debo, that mm-hmm. whole draft class, right?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah. So I think, you know, look, I don't know. For all I know, half the organization went on vacation, and because they, you know, just finished up free agency in the draft, and they'll all get to it. So I don't get the sense. Now, I guess the one question would be, if we want to say, hey, what's the potential hang up? You know, obviously, what are going to be the final terms? If you look at the receivers out there, you know, the receiver contracts out there, you know, there's a glut of guys at about $28 million, including like T. Higgins, who signed obviously this offseason signed an extension with the Bengals. DK Metcalf, following the trade with the Steelers, he got about, like, I want to say 32. And then there's also a bunch of guys in that, you know, right around that 30 range. So to me, it's just maybe just where does he fit in? He's obviously a little bit older than most of the guys. If you look at like the top 10 paid receivers, I think only Tyreek Hill is older than him, or older than he will be in September. So, you know, maybe there's some of that type of discussion. You know, they don't want to pay him what, you know, he's going to be, you know, if it's a 3 or 4 year deal, he could be, you know, 33, 34 when it's done. Maybe there's some question about that, but, you know, ultimately he's highly productive, excellent teammate, role model. You know, he's easily the best receiver on the team, and, you know, they're doing everything they can to enhance Jaden Daniels. You wouldn't want to take away his best, receiver target. So, again, there could be a discussion. I'm sure his side is going to say, look at the year he just had, two-time all-pro, you know, all these things, 13 touchdowns. But, you know, eventually I think it gets done. You know, like I said, where he slots in, I'm sure there's some discussion about that, but I'd be surprised if it ultimately is a huge deal.
How would you compare McLaurin 2025 to McLaurin early in his career? I remember his first game, he caught that 75-yard touchdown deep post against the Eagles. He used to be like a 16-yard-per-catch guy at one point in time. But you can make the case last year, he had 82 catches, second best ever, 13 touchdowns, which is like two or three seasons worth for the rest of his career. And would you say he's better, or just the quarterback play and usage was different? And how does that factor into this?
Well, look, we all wondered throughout his entire career, what would he do if he had a real quarterback? And, we finally saw that last year. So, I mean, you know, to a certain degree, it's always a little hard to compare by the numbers, certainly, him now versus the other points of his career, because, you know, he just always felt like he was limited by the circumstances. He was incredibly productive. You know, when we talk about the team this year, right, we say, you know, are they going to be able to sustain the success last year when you have a harder schedule? They had some good injury fortune last year, winning all these games in the end. Is that going to be sustainable, et cetera? I mean, to a degree, you could look at it with him in the sense of 13 touchdowns. I mean, that's way more than he had at any point of his career, except that Jaden Daniels looks like the part. Cliff Kingsbury is still here. So who knows if he's going to get 13 again. But, he's an incredible, even if he's lost a step to, he's still very fast and all that. You know, he's an accomplished route runner. He's excellent at contested catches. He basically plays all the time. So, you know, I think this, the experience, the savvy, all that outweighs, even if there is any type of athletic diminishing just based on, age and wear and tear. But, he certainly looks the part, and he'll be easily their number one guy once again.
Yeah, Ben, you touched on this, and this is what I wanted to drill down on. He'll be 30, and that's pretty atypical for guys to sign that, that big deal. He's the only guy. You mentioned Tyreek Hill, the only other person in that club here among the highly paid AAV receivers. I'm wondering, and again, I don't know what I don't know here in terms of why it hasn't happened just yet. As you said, it could be just a couple of return phone messages. It could be imminent, or who knows? But I wonder if that's a sticking point where, you're left at the end going, we see the trend line and he's good. No one's saying he's not good. But are we in the business of overpaying guys in for multiple years that may be diminishing at some point? Again, I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think he's going to get to the top level where, like, say, Jamar Chase is, Justin Jefferson. And CeeDee Lamb is another guy who's, very, very high. I think he's, like, third among these receivers, like, I want to say, like, 34 million. Now, if you ignored age and looked at everything else, including what they mean to the organization, the role model aspect, all that stuff, I can make an argument that, you'd rather have Terry McLaurin than CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee Lamb is younger. CeeDee Lamb's athletically probably a more explosive player. Probably he is. But if you're Terry's side, you're like, well, wait a minute. Let's look at the stats. Let's look at what he means, for the organization, for the community. You guys are trying to establish what it means to be a commander. How on earth would this guy not qualify? So if you're going to say all these things about what you're looking for, seems like you'd be going against yourself if you don't give him that kind of money.
Yeah.
But that's where like maybe the age comes in. Well, okay, but CeeDee Lamb is, what is he like, 25, 26, somewhere in that range? And Terry McLaurin, it is wild that he's already going to be, 30, but that's just the reality. So, I think that's got to be some factor. I think even just to tie it in with, say, the Trey Hendrickson situation, I'm not talking about him coming to Washington, but just the contract, it's sort of the same deal. He's one of the older edge rushers. There's only like, I think it was like maybe one or two guys who are basically his age right now who are getting paid more than him. But most of those guys are younger, so I'm sure the organization's like, hey, you're really, really good, but you're also older. So, yeah, I think that has to be some factor. But, his side would argue, well, again, look at the production. Look what he means to this group. So, buzz off if you're going to claim that our guy is slowing down or going to be slowing down anytime soon.
Buzz off. I've not heard that in a long time. That's like in high school or something, you watch a movie that was made in the 80s.
Why don't you make like a tree and leave?
Why don't you buzz off? Ben Stenga of The Athletic. Before you buzz off, Ben, I have one more. We've kept you too long, but I want to ask you about the tush push. Washington was one of 22 teams that voted on banning it. Obviously, we know about the Frankie Louvu moment in the NFC Championship game. I imagine that they'd be the last team to ever use the tush push because they don't want Jaden Daniels weighing what he does underneath of 20 bodies. But could we maybe see them put Mariota in and do a tush push or something? I do think there are more teams that are going to try to take advantage of this rule if it's allowed to be operated with for another year.
Yeah, I mean, look, we saw last year towards the end of the year that they would bring in Mariota in that spot, move Jaden outside just to get him out of the way. You're right, I don't see them using Jaden in that kind of situation. And just frankly, even beyond not wanting him to get hurt, just his body frame is just different. Like Jalen Hurts is just a really, not only is he a fast quarterback, but he's got powerful legs, things like that. So yeah, I don't know if I see that, but yeah, you wonder, is there other things that they could do in that circumstance to take advantage of it? And yeah, I would imagine that other teams will. If it's going to be around, you might as well find a way to take advantage of it. I think that's one of the things. Like, I don't love the play. If they had banned it, I'd been fine. But you know, to the Eagles' credit, it's not like everybody else can't do it, and nobody does it nearly as well as they do. So, and that's even with, you know, Jason Kelce retired. They've changed the center, and that's, you know, a huge point of this. So, you know, kudos to the Eagles for making it work. But yeah, I would think other teams, if it's going to be around, you know, you might as well figure out a way to get it done, considering how highly effective the Eagles have shown that play can be.
Ben, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
Likewise, guys. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
See you, buddy. Ben Standing, outstanding worth in the Athletic. You check him out there. Next on Grant and Danny, we had a council member from D.C. on yesterday in studio, Robert White. If you missed the interview, you should podcast it sometime tonight when we're on thefandc.com. He was great, but he poured some cold water on the idea that anything can get done by this deadline on July 15th. And I want to get into that because this deadline has been set and everyone seems to think it matters, but we're already getting to a point based on the lack of movement where just trying to do the math figure all this out by the 15th in 2 months doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So that's next on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Nationals have officially placed Dylan Cruz on the injured list. They have called up Robert Hassel. He will make his major league debut. Presumably, he'll get the start tonight because Jacob Young's been banged up. I guess it's possible that Young would be healthy enough to play and that they would then have James Wood and Alex Cole start as well. But there's no reason to call up Robert Hassel and not allow him to make his big league debut tonight.
You would think, right?
Hassel, for those of you that aren't familiar, is a former top 10 pick. He was drafted 8th overall by the San Diego Padres. He was acquired in the Juan Soto deal. The Padres took him at number 8 back in 2020. He joined the Washington organization 2 years later. He's played a ton in the minor leagues. 471 games, 1,800 at-bats. He was a high school 18-year-old when he got drafted, so he's 23 now. It's very rare with a prospect of his caliber as of a couple years ago before some injuries that it would be, you know, 5 seasons essentially in the minor leagues before you got called to the majors, but that's how it's worked out. And the last couple of years, the numbers have not been particularly good. He had 220 and 240. His OPS was right around 650 combined, but it was because he's dealt with a bunch of injuries to his wrist, to his hands, broken bones, different things. He is playing much better this year. He was hitting 290 at AAA, where he's got 9 steals and 4 home runs, had a multi-homer game earlier this year, has an OPS up around 750, more hit tool than power. When he was acquired in the Soto deal, if you remember, Danny, he was viewed as the guy that was kind of the safest prospect.
Yeah, maybe not the most major league ready, but the guy that you just go, you don't have to worry about him, right? The safest is the way to put it, probably.
He'll hit
right?
280 with 20 homers, and he'll steal 15, 20 bags, and he'll play good defense in a corner. You don't have to worry any more than that. And then the injury set in, and suddenly the question was, with a pretty loaded outfield, James Wood's a star.
Where
Dylan Cruz was drafted. Jacob Young came on. They've got other players like Dalen Lyle, who's killing it in AAA. Elijah Green was drafted in the top 5. He's now no longer in the mix, really. He's in the org, but he can't hit and strikes out 60% of the time. But the question was, Robert Hassel, is he going to be a big leaguer for this team, or do they trade him, or what happens? Well, we're about to find out what he is. I mean, he's going to get his first shot after many, many years of waiting. Had a great spring training. Was a couple of weeks in the spring this year where he was the best player for the Nats on the club. And he got off to a really, really good start. And then he thrived at AAA and has hit for average and has really gotten hot over the last couple of weeks. So very happy for him. The Dylan Cruz part of this is a real bummer.
Yeah.
He swung last night, checked his swing, was writhing in pain. You could see on a replay that he immediately started grabbing at his oblique. I don't know how public or how much has been talked about, but he's been dealing with back issues on the side, you know, of his back for the better part of at least a half week or so.
Going it was in back. Atlanta, wasn't it, that he tweaked it?
So that's what he said post-game last night, but he wasn't sure of exactly when. Mm-hmm. But it's been about a week of this now that he's been dealing with this, and I wonder if there was any kind of oblique to that even, and it was thought of, or he thought of it as a back, and this was the same injury. But regardless, hopefully it's minor and not major. Hopefully it's a couple weeks and not 6, 7, 8 weeks, which the oblique can sometimes be, because Dylan Cruz had homered in 2 straight games.
Uh-huh.
He was having pretty good at-bats. He's been playing very good defensively. He had really started to become what they need him to be in this lineup, and that was the first time all season he'd homered twice in the 2-game span in back-to-back contests, so you know, what a terrible time for this to happen.
100%. And again, the numbers were going to equalize. We hammered this a million times, and we'll do it a million more. The expected numbers based on line drive percentage, the parts of the field, he stays middle. His hit direction is up the middle predominantly, uses the whole field. Guys that do that don't hit 196. Guys that are doing that with those normal ancillary stats are hitting 240, 250, and the arrow was even trending up on that. So the numbers were about to start equalizing. And you saw a 3-0 pitch. Wasn't like it was just a cookie, middle. It was up and in. It was, you know, to do what he did on that pitch, you got to do a lot right in your swing. And that wasn't happening earlier in the season. Now it is. It's a bummer for him, man.
He hit the ball so high and so deep. I mean, it was about 15 rows deep last night. That was a prodigious 400-foot home run.
Grow man home right there.
To left field for a guy who's about 5'11". But, yeah, you can see it. I referenced this on the show a few days ago, but I was talking to someone with another team at Nats Park on their last homestand about Cruz, and it's an NL front office person, and he was saying, oh, I'm so jealous. Like, this guy's going to be so good. And the way he plays is just the marvel of everyone in the sport.
Yeah, just it's winning baseball, man.
Hard 90s, everything a million miles an hour, hair on fire. So that injury's brutal and a bummer, even though he was not hitting for a very high average. But now Hassel gets his shot. And they, I'm sure, debated between Hassel, who's a little further along in terms of age and experience and games at the upper minors, and Dalen Lyle, who's the higher ceiling of the outfield prospects, former top 50 pick, second rounder, that they've drafted and developed internally. And he's a dude. I mean, he looks like is one of the fastest players in the system who can also hit and swing it a little bit. You know, he's going to be a good big leaguer. And long-term, probably has even more upside than Hassel. But what I'd love to see is maybe this goes really well, and Robert shows well enough that, you know, he ends up in right and Cruz ends up in center whenever Dylan's back, whether that's a couple weeks from now, a month from now, whatever. And maybe that's your outfield and, you know, Cole and Young are extra guys, basically. And now you've got this, I'll call it in air quotes, homegrown outfield, even though Wood and Hassel in the corners are both Soto deal.
Acquired home.
Additions, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I want to, real quick before we move on, just acknowledge that Soto trade one more time, because we took hours and hours of calls from angry listeners who were so mad about trading Juan Soto, who ended up getting almost $800 million. The idea was that the Nats should just sign him. And the point we were making at the time was, he's not going to sign. They offered him a record contract. It wasn't even close to what he's looking for. The number I had heard at that time was $46 million in 16 years. So if you do that math, that's $736 over 16 years. He ended up getting a little more than that total, but $51 million a year over 15 years. Mm. But the point of the dude's story is, they acquired five players for him that are still in the organization. One is one of their top pitching prospects who's hurt right now in Harleen Susana. But otherwise, the four guys are in the big leagues as of today. Mackenzie Gore leads the major leagues in strikeouts. C.J. Abrams is 24 and about to be an all-star for the second time in 2 years, one of the top 10 players statistically in the league offensively right now. James Woods on pace for 40 homers and 100 RBI at 22 years old. And Robert Hassel, who graduates tonight and will start for them in the outfield.
There you go.
Hell of a trade.
Yeah. I mean, if Mackenzie Gore was pitching tonight, you would basically see half of the Nationals starting lineup was courtesy of Juan Soto.
Changed their organization.
Yeah.
Quite literally kept them afloat. And with them having been non-spenders, irrelevant in the offseason, unwilling, unable, or uninterested in doing any kind of real adding to the roster with quality, legitimate, high-paid veterans, they've still been able to be a team that's worth going to watch and keeps you, you know, watching and enjoying on television enough based on the youth and some of the young talent. And it's almost all because of that Soto trade.
Yeah, that's where the young talent came from, for the record. And a couple other trades, you know, guys that aren't quite as high ceiling or exciting, that, again, came from other moves that they made before the Soto trade happened. So you're right. I mean, it's how the organization was transformed.
Double plays coming up at 3:45 or so. I want to sneak in really quick the comment from Robert White on the July 15th deadline and the likeliness, the possibility of, you know, the deadline actually being hit with a deal in place between Congress and the mayor and the Commanders. Because you and I were asking him, like, how serious is that deadline? His point is they still have not gotten the budget from the mayor. They still have not gotten all the answers they need, the paperwork from the mayor on this stadium. So she came on our show and crushed it, I thought, said a lot of the right things, had me eating out of her palm. I'm ready. You tell me where to sign. But if it's not politics and he's telling the truth, he's saying, I've asked six times for information I need to be able to say yes to this, and I can't get it still.
Right. It's like, what are the numbers? What is the budget? Or what is our expenditure? What is our revenue? Where does that come from? What's the math? And this is, again, according to Councilmember White, he's not received that.
This was Councilman White on our show yesterday.
I don't think we're going to get to a perfect deal. That can't be the measurement. But again, there has to be some conceivable way that the district doesn't lose a lot of money on this. We've got to be careful as we, you know, are knocking on the door of a recession, as we're in a deficit. We've got to be really careful about spending a lot of money and not getting a return on it. But the Commanders and the city can agree to an extension of that July 15th. That was a date that that the mayor and the Commanders negotiated without input from the council.
So here's what I want to know, and this will be the next thing I try to figure out through the team. That July 15th deadline makes sense because they're trying to move as quickly as possible.
Understood, yeah.
They need to get a deal in place so that they can actually put together the plans for this stadium and, I don't know, break ground. They're trying to play in 2030. It's going to take 2.5 years I would imagine, from when you start building it to when you open it. So there's a race here to get all of this done,
mm-hmm.
if in fact the 2030 season is the goal. If you push back the July 15th deadline, how far can you push it back? Now, it used to be when we were talking about the Congress element of this, there was a race against the clock because if you didn't get it done by a certain time, then you'd have to wait basically a whole nother year to get back on the agenda.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I don't get the sense that's the case with the D.C. City Council. They're meeting twice a month in perpetuity. I don't think they take these like several months breaks like some of the states do where nothing's on the docket, unless I'm misunderstanding. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. But what is the time where they would say, you have until this date or else we go back to Maryland and we start talking to them again? Because that would be the plan, I would think, on the team side would be to leverage the fact that Wes Moore is still desperate to hand you a check for $500 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, if July 15th is the deadline, would we really say, okay, it's July 17th, we actually got a deal, oh, it's too late,
call
you missed
Moore.
The deadline.
We're ready to move forward at PG County. There's no way.
I don't know, right?
But now, August 20th?
But is it a month? Is
September
it 2 months?
15th?
Is it 6? I mean, you know, it's all relative. I mean, to me, you're basically so hell-bent, and this is for everybody, to get it done here that I think there's probably a larger grace period than we're even imagining. And I think they know that's a soft deadline. I mean, to me, that deadline is, I don't say it's arbitrary. It makes sense. Again, I'm not criticizing anybody for it because your point is 100% right. The team's looking at their watch going, we got to start making announcements. We got to start getting permits. We got to start doing all these kinds of things if we want to ever open this stadium in time. If and when there's the aerial shot of the draft, you want to be able to have that moment, that little story where this right now is this, but you can see the renderings. It's going to be this new crown jewel, RFK 2.0. They want to have all those things, all those ducks in a row. You need to get started to kind of start doing those things. It totally makes sense to me. But for the council's perspective, from Councilmember White's perspective and others, I get wanting to see all the info, and you're going, you can't tell me July 15th. Who says? You know what I mean? So it's, again, everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, but we're just left waiting.
7 yeses are needed. We've got 4 so far. And the journey to find a fifth continues because he was a no yesterday. Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you want tickets to see The Offspring at Jiffy Lube Live in the middle of July, right around this deadline, we've got them for you coming up at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz in 20 minutes. Make sure you're listening. Our double play is next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Your chance to win tickets to see The Offspring coming up in sub 15 minutes. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is time for our double play, which is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today. I will cheat here just a bit.
Okay.
Partially sports. It's a non-sports thing that's sports, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Danny, I saw this story today, and I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bounce it off my pal. This is out of Columbus, Ohio, and there's a lawmaker in Columbus, Ohio, who apparently is a crazy person for the Ohio State Buckeyes, because this is supposedly real. It sounds like something out of The Onion. An Ohio State lawmaker has proposed a bill that would issue fines of $10 million anytime Ohio State is scheduled for a noon kickoff, except for its game against Michigan. Representative Tex Fisher, this guy's
is
name.
It really?
I mean, can you make
that
up?
It's a Will Ferrell character.
Tex Fisher. I got to Google this guy now just to see what he looks like. I picture him looking like Buddy from Friday Night Lights. He's got
Buddy Garrett.
Such a football guy.
Garrity.
Oh, this guy's young, actually. He looks like Buddy in Friday Night Lights at maybe 30 years old.
Yeah.
This guy's got to be a first-termer who went to Ohio State 4 years ago. Like, was a roommate of a lineman or something. So Tex Fisher proposed a bill on Wednesday which would apply anytime Ohio State or any other state university football team plays in a game in which both teams are ranked in the top 10 of the AP poll. Very specific.
Okay.
So Ohio State's top 10. They're playing another top 10 team. In that circumstance, games would not be allowed to kick off before 3:30. They would have to be late afternoon or nighttime. The bill does not apply to the game against Michigan because it's grandfathered in as a college football tradition. So the noon game every year since the beginning of my time.
They've always played it noon.
Ohio State, Michigan, big noon kick.
Okay.
In the Big Ten.
So let's say, sake of argument, Michigan State's top 10 that year.
Exactly.
And they go, great, kickoff's at 3. They get fined $10 million.
Here's what happens. If a game is scheduled before a 3:30 p.m. start, two top 10 teams, the host team's athletic conference or the TV network broadcasting the game, whichever one scheduled the start time, is fined $10 million in this legislation.
I'd like to find somebody. It's old Tex Fisher.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff when you go, I know you got something better to do.
You are unserious, sir.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
This, I agree with everyone listening about everything they think.
Clearly.
I don't care what party this guy's in. He should be. Is impeached a thing for a politician?
I'm going to say yes.
He needs to be booted.
Mm-hmm.
Because unserious is the word. When you're wasting everyone's time doing stuff like this, you're not taking it seriously enough. It's like if you're in the college lecture in the classroom and you're like petting a ferret. And the teacher's like, what the hell are you doing with a ferret? And you're like, oh, I brought my ferret today. He's like, why'd you bring your ferret? I wanted to bring my ferret. You're not here for the class. You don't really care about this. Get out. And you just got to leave.
You got to leave.
Tex.
He brought his ferret.
His name's not Tex Fisher. What's his name?
Tex Fisher.
It's such a fake name. Tex Fisher has to go. The bill also states that no state university shall ever enter into or renew a contract with National College Association, the NCAA, or a conference or a media entity under which any entity directly or indirectly compels or permits the university to have college football games before 3:30 p.m.
What is this dude's beef? I mean, I don't like 9:30 kickoffs for the NFL, but I'm not if I was in a position of authority, I'm not going to like.
Well, it's also not 9:30.
Find the league. It's like, noon. What's he talking
it's
about?
The most common East time zone start time for a day game.
Yeah, I understand. I want Alabama and LSU Saturday night style Death Valley. Like, I want that. I get that. Is he? I mean, it's prime. Like, what? I don't know.
Here's what I wonder. He looks like he was in a frat at Ohio State 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. If I'm just judging a book by its cover.
Okay.
I'm going to assume he either likes the idea of, like, we need to have our tailgate. We need to have our party in. We need to have our
that?
Day of fun. I don't know. What, you give me a better reason.
I don't have one.
Why you can't start a game at noon when you're playing number 7 ranked USC.
Oh, I'm thinking of the classic Big Ten team. Yeah, you're right. My God. Does anyone have any new business? Anyone else? Fine, Tex. Go ahead.
And in fairness to him, Ohio is doing great. They probably have no issues. I haven't heard of any controversies or anything going on there, Grant, that they need to get sorted out.
Grant?
What? I'm not even thinking of... I'm just saying.
Grant?
They probably don't have any problems that they need to iron out. Mm. This is probably the most important thing for the elected official to worry about that day.
What a boob. Like, seriously. And now, here's the thing. If there's other people that sign on to the bill, you're signing your resignation, as far as I'm concerned.
Do they get booted too?
Yeah, anybody else who's like, you know what? He's got a point. No, he doesn't. Go away, all of you.
How old is this guy?
Too old.
I called it. He started in 2024, so he just got here. Tex Fisher is an American politician who has served in the Ohio House of Representatives from the 58th District since 2024. What a goose.
The 58th District. I got some questions for them too. Right. Who was he running against? The guy that loves noon kickoffs?
I would love to know more.
And that was the platform?
I'm going to redact the party affiliation. It's not important.
Mm.
People don't need to know.
Mm.
This guy, the silliest of geese.
Tex Fisher.
Time for Danny's double play.
You can help us here, Grant. I need your help.
Sure.
Musical, just general information.
Okay.
As a guy that's, I don't want to say a savant, that's probably too far, but someone that's pretty savvy and knows a lot about a lot here. The 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees have been announced. I've been meaning to do this for a while. I just haven't had the chance. We've all been very busy. So I figured I'll just go through, and you could just tell me probably the biggest hit by each one.
Oh, you know what?
Go ahead.
This is actually good stuff. The content you're about to do is good.
Yeah.
I don't want to crowbar this into like 30 seconds when we're late in a double play. Let's do this next hour. Let's just save this.
You sure about that?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why don't we just do it right now?
I mean, if you want to do it.
Do we have time? I mean, what's the rule?
We're in the interest of, we're in the business of good segments, but if we want to do a bad one, let's do that.
All right.
No.
We could double save. You're right. You know what? I didn't realize how late it was. You're right. We're going to be good little radio employees and break on. It's called On Time. On Time.
That ship sailed about 2 minutes ago. The Beltway Blitz is next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.